Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pretty cool. We've got Leonard Skinner tickets this week. Jiffy Lube Live is where their show is. Caller 10 at 800-636-1067. Congrats, you're winning a pair. Leonard Skinner and Foreigner, Double Trouble, Double Vision Tour, Saturday, July 25th, Jiffy Lube Live. Good way to spend a summer night. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events, courtesy of Live Nation.
We are Grant and Danny. We're exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morat. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
When we get to the Capitals, who are red hot and good again, the NFL, the Commanders coming up on the Beltway Blitz, but let's start on the hardwood. Our guy, Chase Hughes, Monumental Sports, to do just that on the Blitz. Chase, the Wiz, give us a little state of the union here. They've got the Bucks at home tonight, a 2-16 record for Washington.
Yeah, the Wizards are coming off a pretty disappointing loss to the Indiana Pacers. Right before Thanksgiving, they broke their losing streak. They had lost 14 straight games. They played the Hawks, were pretty good at home, and just beat them pretty easily. But then they couldn't carry that over after Thanksgiving, lost to a lowly Pacers team on the road. And over the past week plus, they've also had the injury bug hit. It was in that Hawks game. Corey Kispert got super hot in the first half, but then broke the tip of his right thumb in the second half. And also Trey Johnson is now out with a hip injury. So they're a bit beaten up right as Milwaukee comes to town. And just as they got a guy named Giannis Antetokounmpo back from injury.
You know, give me the story on Trey Johnson here. What can we expect?
So it sounds like he won't be reevaluated until about 3-4 weeks, until after the injury was announced, which was like a week ago. And then they'll go from there. But it's been a lingering thing that he dealt with throughout the summer in the summer league. They shut him down early in the summer league. He was on a minutes restriction. Then he was on sort of a soft minutes restriction to open this season. And then he re-aggravated the injury against the Toronto Raptors in the first night of a back-to-back. So they've shut him down for about a month, and then we'll get an update. But I have seen him around the practice facility, taking shots, in good spirits. It doesn't seem like he's in too much pain. I think they just want to play it safe with this one.
Alex Saar, is he banged up?
Yeah, he's going to miss tonight's game. Unfortunately, for those who are looking forward to seeing him against Giannis, he's got a minor injury and adductor strain. I'm not a doctor, so I can't give you a full explanation as to what that is. But, he's had sort of these minor things crop up this year. But he's, I think impressed me through his first season plus with how quickly he's bounced back from injuries and, how tough he's been in games when he takes a hard fall. He tends to get right back up and get right back in the lineup, so I don't expect him to be out very long.
Chase, good info, buddy. Thank you for hopping on the Blitz. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Yeah, see you, dude. Be good. Let's keep it moving. Talk hockey. The Red Hot Capitals, I jokingly said, are good again. But how about the schedule lightened up a little bit? Wednesday, we talked about this before we took our Thanksgiving break. And they had three coming up you wanted to try to win before this really tough West Coast trip. They got points in all three of those games. They beat the Jets 4-3. They beat the Maple Leafs 4-2. They beat the Islanders 4-1. Doubling up their opponents 12-6 in goals, they're rolling. And suddenly, you go from being on the outside looking in the playoffs, bottom five in points in the league, to top eight at one point this weekend in points in the league. Now, you're still a bad road trip out west, Kings, Sharks, Ducks, away from falling right back down in the pack because everybody's all jumbled
up. Everyone's crowded, yeah.
But they're repositioned now as a playoff-caliber team, and they've got one of the best goal differentials in the Eastern Conference, Danny. At even strength, they've been one of the best teams all season, in not only the East, but in the National Hockey League. So they've left some of their problems behind them, and they're doing it without one of their best players, Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Yeah, they're going to need him if they want to have some playoff success. But to me, the guys like Tom Wilson having just an unbelievable career year. Listen, Ovechkin's going to get the headlines, and he should every time he scores another goal. Had one against the Islanders and empty netter. That's the new record, and it should be celebrated as such. But Tom Wilson, whisper quiet, putting together a 35 goal pace, give or take here.
How about 47 goal pace?
Is that the pace?
Yeah.
I didn't even do the math on
it. Two more goals yesterday.
How about that? Yeah, leading the team at this stage with 15. He has been unbelievably good, kind of picking up the slack. They got one from Protas yesterday, which I think is good. That's a guy that Joe B mentioned when we talked to him. I think it was last week. It was Tuesday or Wednesday. Who's some of the kind of business needs to pick up for a little bit? And that was one of those names. So good to see him pot one.
I'd love to see them find a way out of six possible points on the L.A. swing here, or the California swing, I should call it, Anaheim, L.A., San Jose. I'd like to see them get, at least four, if not 5 points, would be really, really nice. Ducks and Kings are tied for the top of the Pacific Division, two really good hockey teams. And then you've got the Sharks, not quite as good, but very, very competent.
All decent, yeah.
They have been outscored by 10 goals this year, but do have 27 points, kind of in a similar spot in their standings as where Washington's been in the Metro. But ideally, you beat San Jose. If you get a point in the other two games, you come back with four, maybe 5 points. It would be a big, big deal. But the Caps have gotten right. Very, very good news. Let's talk some football. Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports to do just that. We'll go around the NFL with him. Frank, tonight, Monday Night Football, Patriots, Giants. Feels like a big one for New England. They get a win. They're back to the one seed in the AFC. And they've got the Bills and the Ravens coming up out of their bye. So not really a spot where they can let down if they're trying to get a bye in round one.
No, absolutely. But, as we're figuring out in week 13, nobody's immune to a bad loss. Obviously we saw the Rams, we saw the Eagles, we saw the Lions, we saw the Chiefs, we saw the Ravens, we almost saw the Broncos last night. Everybody's capable of losing. And, it's one of those things where the Giants being on primetime as much as they are is just silly. The NFL just keeps forcing them down our throats year after year. I don't know why they are always on Thursday, Sunday, or Monday Night Football. We don't ask for the Giants as much in primetime. But if you're going to put them on primetime, you're going to get their best effort. Guys still get up for Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football. So the Patriots are clearly the better team, but I can't sit here and say I think, the Patriots are going to walk to a win, because we just saw over and over this week, and honestly this entire season, no team is immune to a bad loss or a bad game. It's over and over and over again that it's kind of the theme of the season, that nobody really wants to be great.
I wanted to ask you about that, Frank. You kind of stole my thunder there with your answer. Why is that? What's going on that's different this year? It feels like I'm used to having a few teams that are going to win 14 games and they're sort of immune to this, but it feels like nobody is.
Yeah, and I mean, part of it is just parity. The margins are so slim in the NFL that again, going back to last night's game, and Nick Benito doesn't make a heck of a play, or if Marcus Mariota just passes a little bit higher, they win that game. Instead, they lose. It's just, you see that a lot because this isn't college football. You're not going to see 52-0 very often. The margins are so slim. So, but I think this season you're seeing a lot of, variation as far as you're just seeing bad, the quote-unquote good teams are not having these coin flips in their way. The Chiefs are a great example. Last year they were 11-12-0 in close games. This year they're 1-6, something like that. So you're just seeing over and over again the Rams losing a close game at Carolina, or these games that I just think it's variance. It's a little bit of variance involved, but also I just don't think any team this year is great. Like, when you look at, you know, every team has its flaws. I mean, I think the Rams and Seahawks are clearly the best teams in the NFL. It doesn't mean they're unbeatable either. I mean, the Seahawks have lost a couple of home games that they blew late in the game. The Rams losing to the Panthers. That shouldn't happen if you're a great team, but I don't think there's any great team. Now, you know, somebody's got to win the Super Bowl. They're not going to, they're going to cancel the Super Bowl because we have no Super Bowl quality team this year, and somebody might emerge. But, yeah, I just think that we lack a great team this season. I don't think we're going to look back on this season and be like, wow, do you remember the 2025 Seahawks? They were unbelievable. It's going to just be one of those seasons where whatever champion we get is this going to be flawed, but, you know, they'll still hold a parade like they do for everybody else.
Frank, the Commanders play the Vikings coming up on Sunday. They're now 4-8. Everybody in Minnesota was really excited because McCarthy was out, who'd been bad, and I mean, they were trying to build Max Brosmer into this, oof, like, big statue, that they needed to build outside the stadium. All these guys are pinning their tweets. You heard it here first. Four picks and a shutout loss for Minnesota. If McCarthy's healthy, you go right back to him against Washington, right?
I mean, yeah, you have to, right? Like, I have no reason to see more of Max Brosmer. And this is what happens. We get so excited about guys who come in a fourth quarter of preseason games and, oh, wow, he threw a couple touchdowns. I'm based in Denver, and Broncos fans have made a cottage industry out of this, making the guys who come in for the fourth quarter be the next savior of the franchise. I mean, it's we all do it, and Vikings fans did it with Brosmer, and then you saw him against a really good defense in a regular season game when everybody's trying and blitzing and whatnot. So, yeah, I don't see any reason not to go back to McCarthy. You gotta figure out, is he going to get better with more reps? Brosmer might be a nice, solid, like, backup. I mean, along his career, that'd be a nice get for them, you know, as an undrafted free agent. But I don't know that you could look at that and be like, especially after yesterday, and be like, oh, yeah, this guy's going to be the answer. Like, he's going to be Brock Purdy. Like, nah, probably not. So you kind of figure out what you got with McCarthy. And I think the Vikings are just the example of, You can win. I think one of the myths of the NFL is you need an elite quarterback to win. I don't think you do. I think you need a good quarterback. You cannot have the worst quarterback play in the NFL, and that's what it is right now. Their passer rating as a team is under 70 right now. Their last team to finish a season with a passer rating under 70 was a 2021 Panthers. Like, they're operating at a level of quarterback we don't see that often. It's just miserable, and it's guy after guy after guy. So, yeah, I just... But to answer the question, yeah, there's no reason to put Brosmer back out there if McCarthy is ready, because I'd rather just see if you could still salvage anything out of J.J. McCarthy.
Frank, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great week.
Appreciate it.
See you, my friend. There he goes. Hit that local 53 sounder, please. Our guy Nick Akridge, PFF. What's going on with the defense, man? Since Dan Quinn started making the calls, it looks like an NFL defense.
Yeah, it does, and this is kind of what we were hoping for when we made that switch. But yeah, everything they're doing a really good job of, again, not making those kind of glaring mistakes. And I think Quinn's done a good job of not playing as much man coverage, because that was their problem the entire time. They just could not play man coverage, and they kept trying to do it. So they've done a much better job of just being smarter with playing some zone coverages. I thought Quinn did a really good job of disguising some of the coverages last night, from rotating from a single high to two high and stuff like that. So, yeah, just been a much more sound defense. It's not great by any means, but it's sound, and it can get the job done.
Yeah, I was just going back and forth with one of our listeners in our YouTube chat who's saying, oh, their defense is, whatever, and Dan Quinn is this. And my point is, it's now an NFL defense. It was not a month ago, right? They're doing normal things. Like, even when they're bad, it's normal bad things. Whereas before, you couldn't cover anyone, you couldn't tackle anyone. Every time Seattle or Detroit got the ball, it was a matter of how many plays did it take to score a touchdown. And I don't care who they're playing, that's not the case anymore. So that's a big improvement.
Yeah, I know. And again, that's exactly what we were kind of hoping for when Dan Quinn took in. And it makes you kind of think of, what could have happened if he stepped in a little bit earlier. But, it was also some of the players, they just couldn't. They were constantly making kind of some mental mistakes. So over these last few weeks, that's definitely kind of been toned down a little bit. I don't see as many busts out there. And just like you said, an NFL defense.
Defensively, who stood out individually in this game last night?
Yeah, Jordan McGee really popped, and he didn't play as many snaps. There were a lot of snaps. He played 24 of the 70 snaps, and he was our highest graded player, 79.7. Thought he really popped, six tackles. And he just kind of, he's an athletic guy, and he's kind of fits that Frankie Louvre role very well, where, you know, he might not be right 100% of the time, but he's going to play with 100% effort every single time. And even if he's wrong, sometimes it works out. So that's kind of the energy that I've been looking for from the linebacker group. And I think that he's been playing really well. So I really kind of like to see that from him.
What'd you think of Mariota against Denver? I thought he, you know, the interception was really bad, but Nick, I thought he gave him a chance against an elite defense. I don't think you can ask for much more.
Yeah, I think he had some, you know, he kind of has had these the last few weeks, just some weird, just head scratching decisions that he's been making. He got away with a few. There was a pick that probably should have ended the game in overtime, but I kind of agree with you. I think overall he's been, you know, just solid. He's been steady. He's operated this offense. I thought Cliff had a really nice game plan to kind of, you know, take care of that Broncos pass rush, get the ball out of his hands quickly, use Mariota's legs. So I think that he's been very solid overall. He's just got to, you know, tone down the unnecessary jumping and the wild interceptions.
What did you make of their ability to run the ball? That was my biggest surprise last night against that really good Denver team. It wasn't as if they were ripping off, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs 80-yarders every other play, but to be able to stay ahead of the chains 4 or 5 yards a pop, I was really impressed there.
Yeah, it's been a slow kind of uptick of you know, it started off really hot and then it kind of, you know, wavered a little bit. But I think, you know, like you said, the run game has been really good these last few weeks. I think Chris Rodriguez is a huge part of that. I think he's very decisive in, you know, with the cuts that he's making. He's straight downhill. He doesn't take a lot of time to hit the hole. And then he forced to miss tackles as well. I think Sam Cosmi coming back has been a huge plus. He's kind of slowly gotten, you know, his feet back under him. And the last 2 weeks, he's been playing some of the best football of any offensive line in the NFL. Sunday, he was our highest rated player, 91.4 overall and 90.4 in the run game. So he was just moving guys in the run game. It's nice to have that back. Josh Connerly was another one doing a really good job in the run game. But I think it all starts with Chris Rodriguez. I think he's done a really, really good job of, you know, just pressing the hole and just, you know, making quick decisions.
Nick Ackridge of PFF. Nick, as far as Terry McLaurin goes, it was very apparent what he brought to the offense. We saw it in the Kansas City game as well. There's just a gear when he's out there that they don't have otherwise. Speak to that if you would.
Yeah, he was a much, you know, it was really nice to see him again. And last night he was supposed to be on a pitch count, but he actually ended up having the most targets he's had in a game in his career, or tied for the most targets he's had in a game with 14. Yeah, just really good to see. And again, it's finally someone that you can expect to win in man coverage. Even when he's going up against Patrick Surtain, there were still multiple refs that he is, you know, beating the former defensive player of the year. So having that guy that you can count on to go win a rep when you absolutely need it is definitely something they've been missing. It's really nice to have him back. And again, he made some huge clutch catches for him. And yeah, just overall really good to finally see him back.
Nick, thank you as always, my friend. Talk soon.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys.
That's your Beltway Blitz. I want to talk more about Terry McLaurin and a thought I had while watching him about how this offseason was handled by the team. Let's get to that next on G&D.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. and off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It was really nice to see him again. And last night, he was supposed to be on a pitch count, but he actually ended up having the most targets he's had in a game in his career, or tied for the most targets he's had in a game with 14. Just really good to see. And again, it's finally someone that you can expect to win in man coverage. Even when he's going up against Patrick Surtain, there were still multiple refs that he is, you know, beating the former defensive player of the year. So having that guy that you can count on to go win a rep when you absolutely need it is definitely something they've been missing. It's really nice to have him back. And again, he made some huge clutch catches for him. And just overall really good to finally see him back.
Nick Akridge on Terry McLaurin's impact. Boy, was he noticeable in fixing this passing game last night. 7 for 96 and a touchdown. And that's not even accounting for a 30-yard score that was called back in overtime. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll get into McLaurin in just a moment. As a reminder, Ben Standig, Substack Standig, covers the Commanders very well. Joins us coming up in a half hour to talk about all the injuries and timetables for return on players, including Jaden Daniels, who is still not cleared for contact. Will we see Jaden Daniels in Minnesota when we hit the road and go out to Minneapolis this weekend as a show? That is the big question. Thanks to Toby for the update. Shout out to him, by the way. Toby
Topes
stopped watching Virginia Tech recruiting video long enough to do an update.
You know, we all make sacrifices.
Yes.
To do this show well, hopefully. You know what I mean? And that was his.
He has been bitten by the bug. He was in Blacksburg last week.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was in Charlottesville this week. He's been traveling around with the Hokies. Rumors have it that James Franklin's got him on staff in some capacity. I'm not sure how exactly. There's pictures floating around of those two's very exclusive meeting together where they talked about Toby's new role. So, Toby, I know you've been scouring the internet for video of your new acquired talent in the portal. Hokie Altizer's having himself a week.
It's been a great week. James Franklin is recruiting the state of Virginia well. There have been a couple of flips from Penn State. 4 stars coming to Tech now. There's been some guys that were on the fence about coming to Tech that are now staying in the state of Virginia and going over to Blacksburg. So, heck of a start to the recruiting cycle for James Franklin.
I got to say, though, while we're talking about college football in Virginia, the best college football program in the Commonwealth over the last several seasons, the James Madison University Dukes are losing their head coach, Danny.
Mm.
Very handsome Bob Chesney is going to UCLA to take over the Bruins. So if you're keeping score at home, Kurt Cignetti, who just wins Google him, goes to Indiana and has turned that program into a complete juggernaut. That dude's a star. Now Bob Chesney, who I don't know if I mentioned how handsome Bob Chesney
is. He's a very handsome
guy. Familiar girl, with yeah. Handsome Bob? He is going to UCLA. He's going to fit in very well out there in the Los Angeles area with his handsomeness. But he leaves. How does JMU get to the ACC so that they can have enough money to keep some of these coaches? There was a time where they were not Division I, and they had no hope at all. Now you're D1 Sun Belt, and they're on the precipice maybe. They need a little help. If Virginia's willing to help them by losing to Duke in the ACC final, there is a fairly decent chance JMU could actually get into the college football playoff, which would be awesome. But you're now losing a second amazing coach for this brilliant program in short order. And this is just what you're going to be in the Sun Belt. It's just a stepping stone. Is there any path to them ever being in the ACC?
Listen, you're above my pay grade. I would have said none of these things are possible. Stanford's an ACC school, so what do I know?
That's a good point.
I mean, this is...
I was watching a Big Ten game between, like, Oregon and Washington.
Yeah.
A week ago.
And I just point and I go, nope, wrong. Everyone's wrong. Try again. I mean, they're the new Miami of Ohio. I mean, in terms of like the head coach factory. Remember, like for 15 years, all of a sudden, like, were you on this guy's staff at Miami? Like Sean McVay and John Harbaugh. And there were like 15 different dudes that sort of passed through this otherwise innocuous school. And it was like the only place you could get a head coach from, apparently. That's what JMU is now. It's a factory. Just churning out coaching candidates to go places and be big time.
Well, let's just finish off the college football conversation. I actually had Lane Kiffin on the menu for us next hour, but we could push Terry a few minutes into next segment and just finish this out. This Lane Kiffin saga was must-see television all weekend. For those of you that didn't follow it, Kiffin, who's the head coach at Ole Miss, who's one of the three or so best teams in America. I mean, I know what the rankings say, but there are two or three teams that have as good a chance as they do to win the national championship. And in a fairly unprecedented way, this is not someone leaving JMU, with all due respect to the Dukes, Bob Chesney, to go to UCLA. This is someone leaving one of the best programs currently in America with one of the best chances to win a national championship to go to LSU because they gave him almost $100 million and they've guaranteed him almost $50 million per year for his recruits. So Lane Kiffin's about to build in free agency in a non-salary cap sport. LSU's about to be the Mets or the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. They're going to go out there. They're going to do what Texas Tech did with their defense, where they brought in like nine new starters in the portal. And they're going to have the best players from all over America at every position with Lane Kiffin to try to win the national championship next year. And they're going to drop tens of millions of dollars into the roster. But because it's Lane Kiffin and he's obsessed with the attention and the juice and loves being a star on social media, of course, this became a reality TV show. Every other coach that leaves, it just kind of happens. With him, it was this several-day thing dragged out, willy or won't he, and look at the plane, and where, let's track the number on the wing to see where he's at today. And he eventually takes the job at LSU and then tries to convince the AD at Ole Miss to let him stay and coach Ole Miss in the playoffs so that they can go try to win their national championship. And the AD correctly told him, shove it and get out of here. You're an LSU Tiger now. We don't want you.
The whole system is broken. And I know this is my old man coming down from the, shaking my fist at the ocean thing. But the idea that it's even on the table that someone would leave when they're in the national championship picture, right? This isn't you're 6-5 and you're eligible for the Poulin Weed Eater Bowl. They're in the playoff, Ole Miss is. And whether they've got a shot to win it all or not, that's not the point. The point is they're in the tournament. Imagine somebody at a college basketball program. Their team's a 4 seed in the Eastern bracket, and they go, yeah, but I got a big step up here to be. I'm going to go coach at Kansas. So before the tournament starts, I'm just going to bounce. I mean, even classless guys like Kevin Willard wait till the team to be eliminated before he ultimately went. You know, right. I mean, it's such a petting zoo.
Well, it's just a broken.
It's a broken system.
Utterly broken system. There's no doubt. I just want to reiterate though, it's not like they're Miami and like might get into the playoff, and if they do,
they're in.
Because their good is really good, maybe they could go on a run. It's a top 5 team in America.
Yeah.
Like the odds would say they have the best chances with a couple other clubs to win a national championship. And he's going, hey, I know I've sold you on this for 4 or 5 years in some cases. I know that I was in your living room. I know this is what we've been working for all this time. Good luck to you. Kick rocks. I'm going to be over here. Meanwhile, he's telling all of the offensive assistants reportedly, if you're not on the plane with me tomorrow, you're not going to be on my staff. So he's not just leaving. But according to the reports, he's trying to drag the offensive staff out the door with him before the college football playoff. And clearly, you're going to be taking a ton of the best players from Ole Miss with you,
of course,
to LSU. Now, for the people that are suggesting he's like a terrible guy, how dare you leave Ole Miss, you lied to the kids or whatever, there's no time that he could leave and go take the job ever that would make sense. I guess if you waited till next year and you have 3 losses or something and you're not in the playoff, then it looks better than right now, if that's the argument. But this is more about the broken system. Is he a bit of a, you know, are you getting bitten by a snake you laid with because Lane Kiffin, who's done this at other places, is your coach? 100%. I'm not crying for Ole Miss by any means. But to me, this is more about the game than the player, if that makes sense.
Yeah, this is a systemic issue. And all the rules are set up in such a goofy way. I can't remember who it was. I apologize. I think it was maybe Stuart Mandel wrote to me what's the definitive column about it. It may have been someone else. Again, I apologize. But it's the place that he's
transferred. I think it was Stuart Little.
Could have been Stuart Little.
The mouse.
Stuart Smalley. Good enough. I'm smart enough and people like me. The new place, the players that might transfer have to wait a certain amount of time until after he gets there. The players that are currently at Ole Miss have 30 days. The portal lines up in a certain way where the only way to start getting recruits is if you go right now this minute. So what you have is an environment where you can no longer see what happens during a season and fire a coach. It's now got to be, well, I need a jump start on the first recruiting window in the transfer portal, so I need to fire a guy after 2 games or 3 games or 4 games. And so then it'll be a race to fire guys first to jump on the new transfer portal, the new recruits. I mean, the calendar part of it is so messed up. It's poorly designed. None of the pieces make any sense, and there's no clarity to it. So this is not, I mean, again, Lane Kiffin is a selfish me-first coach. He's, you know, Bobby Petrino 2.0 or any of these other guys that will jump ship at the first sign of trouble and, you know, get their payouts or buyouts and go to the next best situation. You know who you're dealing with. It's not then all of a sudden, like, they took his mask off and it's somebody else, like Mission Impossible. That's who this was. So you always knew who you're in business with.
Hey, let me
he
say
is
really
a systemic
too.
Product.
I agree. But also, how many coaches are not about themselves? Or players, to an extent, for that matter. Like, college, NFL, whatever. This is not some altruistic business where, you know, in other words, like, Dan Quinn's not in Washington because he wants to, and I shouldn't pick on him. I'm just naming a guy. You can name any guy. But, like, you know what? Dan Quinn likes to coach in the NFL. That's why he's coaching in the NFL. And if he was a free agent and someone came along and offered him twice as much money in a better situation, you might go there. Just like you in radio or yeah. Everyone else in their gig.
Sure,
so
sure.
I'm always trying to remind people of that a little bit too. But this is not defend Lane Kiffin time. He was made on national TV at times this weekend by ESPN into being a victim. He, you know, he's really struggling with this, guys, and this is really tough on Lane. I couldn't believe how it was being covered. Like, the guy that's about to get the $100 million and the $50 million to use on his players going from Ole Miss to LSU is leaving all these dudes in the rear view. I just don't have any tears to cry for this guy. You'll have to forgive me. But the whole thing is just a joke right now. And the timing of the portal starting when it does. To your point, you've got to leave right away. Leaving the team that might win the national championship so you can go start recruiting for next year at your next place. Doesn't that just tell you that everything is wrong?
It's completely botched and
that
broken.
The sport isn't in a healthy place.
Yeah.
Players are doing this all over the place.
Of course.
They're entering the portal before the year ends.
Well, and the reason they did the calendar that way is so guys, you know, about bowl games and to try to keep that precious cash cow going so that guys wouldn't have a chance to opt out or, you know, the different precedents. Again, here's what happened. Everybody put their capes on and crusaded and put their hands on their hips and went, pay the players, pay them. And they never once considered what the repercussions would be. And a lot of you guys don't care. You feel like you did your best job.
So that's the problem, by the way.
And you moved on to the next thing to write your column about.
I promise you that the people that wanted the players paid don't see it like you and I see it.
Right.
Because I remember being at this event where I brought this up and everyone was coming up to me afterwards like, hey, that was really nice of you to talk and answer these questions. I can't believe you don't think the players should be paid. And I said, that's not what I said. NIL, I'm 1,000% cool with, and everyone should be able to make money off their name, image, and likeness. But we are not ready to just have open season transfers and players getting paid. It's going to be worse than it is beneficial. But the people that wanted this think it's closer to good and a win, so to speak.
Well, again, they also, yeah, to me, I could go a long way down a long way, which isn't necessarily part of the discussion. But my point all along was, whatever you guys want is fine. Just know that no one's prepared for it. The NCAA is not, the different conferences are not, the players are not, there's no CBA. With an NFL-type roster, there are around 2,000 players, right? There's an NFLPA, and there's rules that are set up between collective bargained parties, the league and the players. You can never do that with college football. There's too many people. So then you've got different subdivisions, different rules, and everyone's looking to Congress going, please save us with some kind of rule, and they're going, leave me alone. We're not doing any of this crap with you guys. No one knows what the hell to do. It's this chaotic thing. And listen, the games are still on and the games are fun, so no one really is going to care. But it's the worst the product has ever been, in my view.
He's Danny Ruye. I'm Grant Paulson. Terry McLaurin looked like a star again last night. And he fixed some problems for this Commander's offense. Got to make you feel better going into next year. We'll talk about that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Game decider, Mariota, inside the corner, touchdown!
It was great to see Terry McLaurin looking like Terry McLaurin again. And frankly, he only played one other game since week three, and it was the Chiefs game where he had that spectacular touchdown catch, toe-tapping in the end zone, and then the play he got hurt on where he had the amazing catch on the sideline contested in the second half as well. So when he has played, as limited as that has been, he's basically been Terry. He just comes back, plays a strong game, and he's been hurt. Got through this one healthy, and hopefully he can finish the season strong. We'll talk to Ben Standing coming up in about 10 minutes about whether or not Jaden Daniels is going to be back to play Minnesota. But you're starting to see the offense take shape here. And this was kind of my point when everyone suggested bringing Daniels back doesn't make sense, or how dare you bring him back to play with, quote, these guys, as if their offense isn't intact right now. They've got an offensive line that just shoved it on the best pass rushing group in the league that did a great job last night, that is coming together, that is the planned starting five. They've got a receiver room led by McLaurin and Deebo Samuel with Jalen Lane and essentially non-Luke McCaffrey when Noah Brown is likely back against the Vikings, completely intact. They've got all their tight ends available. I know they didn't use Sennett, but Ertz is playing the best football of his season, coming off 10 for a bill last night. Colson Yankoff's getting involved. John Bates caught passes, was involved last night. Their running back room is completely intact, other than Eckler, who got hurt way, way, way back at the beginning of the year. So you're basically going to be down Eckler and Luke McCaffrey from the original plan. Why wouldn't you bring Jaden Daniels back? But I just think seeing McLaurin and the difference he makes is a great reminder of how much different it can look when he's cooking on the outside.
Without a doubt. I mean, that's the threat, right? It's the, I mean, to me, the he's not a tremendous deep threat, but he's good enough. Like, he's plus in that area to me. Where he's valuable, as far as I'm concerned, it's those in-traffic slants. It's some of those comeback routes. It's those kind of intermediate, stick-moving plus type route tree, where I think he's at his best and he could really help. He's never going to be a 100-catch guy. He probably shouldn't be in your offense. He's also not a 50-catch 1,200-yard guy that's averaging 20 per, right? He's not an over-the-top, Tyreek Hill type figure or whatever. He's somewhere in between. But he's dangerous enough getting over the top. He's dangerous enough in kind of that intermediate area where he can gain traction, run after the catch, et cetera, that he commands enough respect that the defense has to back off. They have no choice. And that, to me, is all the difference. It wouldn't have mattered if it was, Chris Moore instead of him, and you play this great defense, they're not afraid of anything. And they would have attacked the line of scrimmage. I think it would have looked a lot different.
So here's a thought I had while watching the game and watching him last night. Does a game like that that shows his impact make you question or wonder why they handled the negotiation the way they did this summer? Is that a fair thing to be thinking about? I have said all along I didn't think the juice was worth the squeeze. Now, if I'm picking a side, I'm on the team side, not the player side. As we find out some of the numbers that everybody was asking for, at least via the reporting that's been done, there's a reason the team won the negotiation and it wasn't close. There's a reason McLaurin eventually had to cave. The team was correct in what they were suggesting. Mm-hmm. And if you looked at the Courtland Sutton contract, you saw him last night out there for Denver and the season he's having, it's really hard to get money when you're McLaurin's age. So he basically took a one-year extension. He'll be here through the end of next year and then probably, honestly, the way things are trending, moves on. But when you watch that game and you see how much they've been derailed this year by not having him, it is an indicator of how important he is to this team and was to this team this year. And for them to risk the relationship, if you want to say the health with all the time missed, but certainly just this idea of you didn't have the secondary options right. to get cute there, I don't think. You didn't have a backup plan. Did it make you think that at all, or is that a fair thing to bring up today?
It's a very fair thing. It's a great question. It's worth discussion, right? Because, I mean, everybody that says shut up, move on, because we spent so many days and hours doing that, I think that's, you know, grow up. Adults are talking here. I also think there's another perspective to it, too, which I'll get to in a second, but it's very fair to ask, because these are major decision points for a regime that's still only in its infancy, and we are trying to judge balls, strikes, everything in between. What looks good now might not in the future. What looked like a genius pick might not be. What looked like a major swing in a certain thing on a trade might not work out there in the future. That's all we're doing here is trying to evaluate what the hell's going on as everything's so fresh. A great first honeymoon sample was unbelievable, kind of blinded everybody to maybe some mistakes that they made in year one that really came home to roost in year two and a number of things that didn't go very well. So, of course, it's a very fair question. My counter to it, though, which is, again, is also a question to ask, is he signed a team-friendly deal after months. Like, couldn't you have done that way earlier?
Sure.
And come to work and maybe not ended up as hurt.
But maybe the team-friendly deal a month earlier was way more team-friendly.
Who knows? And again, we don't know. And they're not going to let slip what was offered. And if they did a move where they go, we're going to offer you X today, and it goes down by 10% every day you don't sign. Or who knows how they played hardball or not. We only heard some of the leaks, and it came from McLaurin's side pretty much kind of throughout the process. But the fact that it went this way, it certainly wasn't good. It wasn't good for anybody. And it shows you, kind of to your point, it's a very good one, how derailed this thing was and how one player, when there wasn't a good backup plan to fill his role, not other receivers, but that role, they were really left standing or left wanting.
Anybody else have thoughts like that last night about what could have been and whether or not this thing needed to be handled that way as he was balling out and they just looked so different last night offensively with him getting right? That's the question. We'll also get into a convo with Ben Standig next, Substack Standig. Is Jaden Daniels going to play against Minnesota? He has still not been cleared for contact. Was the Schefter report yesterday, which I read as him kind of hedging that Daniels is probably not going to go against the Vikings. Is that the way Ben understood what Schefter was saying about the limited practices this past week? That's next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.